I should get your physical and spiritual blood flowing, those songs. A couple of announcements. There is no women's Bible study this coming week, but on December 3rd, there will be the Bible study here at the Reed's house. They're studying Praying Along with Paul. And so if you haven't come, I think you'd find it very interesting and meaningful. The men's coffee will continue. There'll be tomorrow morning at 7 at the Panera at Livingston and 54, and until Christ comes back, I guess. Or as long as Panera's around, which I don't know which will happen first. Now, the women's Bible study, women's group have adopted a couple who lost everything in the hurricane. She's pregnant. And staying on the floor of some friend's house. So they're just trying to gather potential needs. You know, if you got gift cards or things, if you want more details, you can talk to Laura. I've been asked not to announce that tomorrow is Jennifer's birthday. So I won't. Okay.
When we should sing to both of them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
We'll get better by next year.
Yeah. Next gathering on the 8th, we will be having our annual meeting. And so we will have some lunch after the service and then our annual meeting. The agenda will be an affirmation of the budget, and there are copies of the budget out on the table there. If you want to look at that, it's very similar to last year's budget. Also, we'll be affirming Glenn Francis to come back on the elder board because Steve Cook will be stepping off, and Kathleen Black for coming on to the deacon board. This will be the first time in Candlewood's history we have an all-female deacon board. So,
they got the power.
Yeah. And Phil is stepping off. That's right.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah. So, and we'll acknowledge those guys on the 8th. I'm going to read the passage we're studying today. It's one verse. So this is Matthew 7:6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Interesting verse, so we'll have time to discuss it and then hear Gaetano's challenge and ideas from it. But I'd like us to pray. And after I've done praying, if you could move into your groups, and then musicians come up for one more song. But let me just pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We're here to acknowledge that you are our Lord, our Savior, our God. We are dependent on you. We worship you. Father, just guide us in all that we do here. Our goal is that everything we do will glorify you. And Father, I pray for some of the missionaries that we're supporting, thinking of Luke and Sarah in Mexico City. Be with them in their ministry and also in their family. Continue to help Sarah in her health. Pray for Sean and Rebecca and family, and pray for safety for Sean and Joshua as they fly to the States to visit and compete for a scholarship at Asbury University. And just pray for that'd be a great time. Pray for Scott and Kathy Waller in California as he ministers and challenges academia to consider the claims of Christ. Father, just thank you for the privilege to be part of their ministry. We give you this time. In Christ's name, amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close our time of prayer in prayer, and then we'll move forward with our discussion and time of teaching. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to gather together as those united through faith and trust in your Son, Jesus, and whom we know is alive and at your right hand, and one day will return and gather us up to be in your presence for all of eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, and we certainly long for that. Lord, we are those who truly cherish the fact that you came in the flesh, and we are those who are patiently awaiting for your return. And so, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to draw near unto you through faith and trust in your Son and pray and know that we have your ear. And we pray that we are praying in the Spirit for one another and about the things that are going on in our lives. And Father, you know all the requests that were made this morning and even the things that weren't mentioned. We just pray that you would be gracious to us and answer us and counsel us and give us wisdom and discernment and lead us by your Spirit in all things that were mentioned and the things that weren't. And so, Father, thank you for this opportunity also to study your word. We pray that it just sinks deep into our hearts and that it would be something that continues to transform us and be the means by which we're all the more stirred up unto love and good works and living the lives that you've called us to live through faith in your Son so that we may bear fruit through him for your glory. So we love you and we praise you and we ask that you just continue to lead and guide our time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so as you know, this morning, our passage is Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, which reads, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." So this is the passage that we're going to discuss today in your groups. And so take some time to look over it. Maybe we won't have as long as a discussion time today because of it being such a short passage. And obviously there's a lot that can be said about it, but I'm assuming some of the bigger key things will be drawn out pretty quickly. So go ahead and talk about those things amongst one another. Share what the Lord's taught you, how you've seen this play out in your life, or what you think the Lord is challenging you to take from it. And then I look forward to hearing what y'all have to say during our time of sharing. So, all right, go ahead. Hopefully I'm not cutting us off too short, but give us about another minute or so to talk about the passage. Do we have any group that would like to go first?
I shared this in my small group, but something that's happened in my life, I used to work in youth ministry, and we took the group down to Mexico to do a mission trip, and we were working in the colonias doing VBS and stuff like that. It was going really well, and then they decided they wanted to go into the marketplace. So when we went into the marketplace and trying to share the gospel, people were mocking us. They were catcalling at the girls. They were saying mean, nasty things. So I shared this verse with them. It's in Matthew 10, a couple verses, if I could just read them. "And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it and stay in his house until you leave the city. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." And I had to share that with the group because they did not understand. They said, "Miss Laura, why are they being so mean to us? We want to share the gospel with them and give them hope." And I just said, "You know, not everybody is going to receive it, because that's, you know, God wants us to go out. But if they don't receive it, we just have to dust the, you know, brush the dust off our feet and leave it up to the Lord."
Yeah. Amen.
This just came to me. Sorry, guys. I just popped in my head. It kind of relates to what we talked about. It says, "Don't throw your pearls," but it doesn't mean you shouldn't wear your pearls. And I was thinking, you know, and that you wear your pearls. And we talked about your character. Sometimes it's your character that people notice. So you're not unloading everything on them. You're showing them by your character, your love for them. You're not sort of going through the whole four spiritual laws with them, but you're just showing your character, and that is what may impact them more than, you know, unloading the whole gospel to them.
Yeah, great point.
Going back to what Laura said, Paul exemplified that in Antioch of Pisidia when things went sideways there and they threw him out and he shook the dust off of his feet, just as Jesus had instructed. But what we were talking about was, Rose gave such a great analogy of how the pigs and the swine, that's kind of the way they're wired, that they're going to be skeptical and scoffers and rejectors. And the analogy she gave was from the Chronicles of Narnia and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when they were in the beaver's lodge there, and they were talking about Aslan and how wonderful he was, and Peter and Susan and Lucy thought, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, and Edmund's going, ew. He didn't like it at all. Well, eventually Edmund came around, but he had to hit bottom. So Aslan did change his heart, but it took a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And that kind of illustrates how the people who are the scoffers that are violently rejecting the gospel doesn't mean they're always going to be that way. So you may have to, you know, give up on them for a while, but don't forget about them. Mm-hmm. You may be able to come back later and reach those people. And I was kind of thinking of these folks as being the opposite of the merchant that Jesus was talking about in his parable of the pearl of great value. And it's in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. He said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." So this is the exact opposite heart attitude. And so, you know, what we have is incredibly precious, and there are people who are ready to receive it. And so if we're not making progress, we need to be willing to move on and go somewhere else and maybe come back later.
Hmm. Adding on to what everybody else is saying, when Beth brought the pearls out, I just all of a sudden realized that you wear them right over your heart. And to go in when you're preaching the Lord's word, that's where the Lord's word is locked in your heart. Even though you got to use your brain and everything to, but so many times we pull out our heart, and if we pull that heart out and lay it down, and if they are swine, they stomp on your heart and they can crush you. They can crush your own soul. They could turn you from being a bold witness into a weak witness. So, and just like when you had the pearls over your heart, I just was thinking, wow, you know, that preaching to people that can, so it's also taking what is holy, taking your pearls, your heart, but keeping it so that you can keep preaching it, and that if there are people who don't want to accept it, that you just can keep that boldness and go on to the next people, because you still have the race to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Well, most everybody has said what we were talking about, but the one word we came up with is discernment. Our Lord has told us, you know, don't judge others, a plank in your eye, and that. But what he's saying here is use discernment in how you share the gospel. In other words, don't waste your time if somebody's heart is hardened. Move on, I think Jerry said, move on and bear fruit somewhere else. But we do have to use discernment in how we do it.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell a story pretty fresh of somebody who was persistent. Beth's sister, Jenny's husband, Bill, grew up in Miami, and at age 16, he became a Christian, and his mom kicked him out of the house. So from age 16, he lived in his own apartment, worked. He worked in a restaurant, he said, so he'd have something to eat. And she never wanted him to share anything about Christ with her. 2 years ago, she had some health scare, and they said the end was near, and he went and began witnessing. She said, don't ever talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to hear about it. Well, when she lives in Sebring. She was getting ready for Helene and moving some potted plants because she was in her 80s. She fractured or cracked some vertebrae in her back, ended up in the hospital. She ended up with sepsis, and there was nothing they could do, so they put under hospice. So he came down and was there and stayed there. And one night he stayed in the room, And he usually wakes up early, and he prayed that she'd be lucid because she'd be in and out of lucidity. And I think it was a Friday morning, about 4:30, 5:30 in the morning. He woke up, and she was awake and very lucid. So he asked if he could share the gospel, and she said yes. So he shared the gospel, asked her if she wanted to ask Christ into her heart. She said yes, and he led her through the sinner's prayer. And when she finished it, she said, "I want you to know I prayed that from my heart." Mm. And then 2 days later, she died.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. I'll praise the Lord for his kindness and his grace and his mercy and the way he pursues people who at the first don't want nothing to do with him.
Related to that, and Beth said to share this story, when I was in college, I had a Sunday school teacher, and her husband was an unbeliever, and his partner was an unbeliever. And then his partner was, they're both attorneys. They had a firm in Miami, and they had a firm in Tampa. And he was living a pretty, this is her husband's partner, was living a pretty decadent life, and I think she was sharing with him the gospel or whatever, and he pretty much cussed her out every name in the book in terms of, yeah. I mean, very horrible words. And she responded by just, she didn't over-respond or whatever, and she says, "I forgive you," you know. And he was on his way to, on a flight from Tampa to Miami, and she slipped a four spiritual laws somehow in his paperwork or whatever. And on the plane, he read that, four spiritual laws, and she said, "I forgive you," on the four spiritual laws, and he gave his life to Christ on the plane. Mm. And he said, anybody that would, the way I treated her and how I cussed her out and could forgive me for that, I had to look seriously at this. And he came back, and then a few years later, he was like a deacon in the church, and he was sharing the gospel, and he was just on fire for Christ. But shows you, you really have to be discerning. You don't. Our discussion was, how do you know if you do this? And I think it was partly her character that really shined through for him.
Right. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anyone else? It's a great little passage, and it's something that really is meant to speak to us and help refine us and grow us and mature us in various ways. So, this morning, as we get ready to kind of dive in just a little bit and share some things that I believe the Lord's impressed upon my heart to share with us this morning. And well, first off, before we even get to the passage, something that the Lord's really been reminding me is that when we gather together, the purpose of our time really is to stir one another up unto love and good works, right? To really take in what the Scriptures are teaching us, sound doctrine, right? The things in which the Lord has revealed unto us that ought to impact our daily lives, right? That transforms the way that we walk so that we can be more and more like Christ. And really the overarching theme of the entire Sermon on the Mount is how to actually conduct ourselves as those who not only trust, right, and believe in God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, but what it looks like to be very active and faithful participants in the kingdom which has come and is increasing and will be fully established on that day when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom, right, to rule over all things and to return all things back into the hands of his Father. So, you know, these aren't things that we should be taking lightly. These aren't things that we should just allow to go in one ear and out the other. These aren't the type of things that we ought to just be like, "Oh yeah, I've heard that before," right? Like, no, these are things that we need to be really living by. These aren't just nice things to know. These are things that we must seek to live by so that we can be lights in this world, right? So, real quick, just kind of set up something that I think we all already know. I want you all to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25. I'll give you all a minute to get there. Proverbs chapter 25. I will read it, so for whatever reason getting there is difficult, don't worry. I always just want to give everyone an opportunity. So Proverbs chapter 25, verses 11 to 12. Proverbs 25, verses 11 to 12. So it reads like this. "Like apples of gold in a setting of silver is a word aptly spoken. Like a gold earring or a gold ornament is a wise reproof to a receptive ear. Right? So what is being communicated to us, right, is that words aptly spoken, words spoken at the right time in the right way, right, is like a gold apple in a silver of setting. Or reproof, which if you study the book of Proverbs, reproofs were always associated with someone trying to give good, godly, wise counsel, correction, trying to get someone to turn from a way that is not good to the way of which is good, right? And so we know all throughout the scriptures, reproof is a good thing. If God reproves you, it's because he loves you, right? He's wanting to convey things unto you that will help you and help you grow and mature and stay on the path in which he wants you to go instead of veering off and going down a direction in which he doesn't want you to go. And so if you are a person who receives reproof, wise reproof, not only from God, but from his people who love you and care for you, then you are described as a person who is receiving like a gold earring or an ornament that gets put in your ears, right? So once again, like a gold earring or a gold ornament is a wise reproof to a receptive ear, right? You know how ladies are and some guys, you know, but I'm mainly talking about the ladies, right? Your ear, you like putting gold in it, right? Because it looks good, right? It's nice. Well, this is something that points us to how we ought to be receptive to wisdom. Our ears ready to receive it, to be able to wear it, right? And it's a nice thing, right? God's word, his wisdom is to be cherished more than gold and silver, more than these ornaments and these gold earrings. His reproofs are better than these things. So just kind of setting that up, right? Because as we consider what is Jesus talking about, we do know, right, that this passage most certainly teaches us about how we share the gospel with people. But it isn't just isolated to sharing the gospel solely, right? Anytime you seek to teach anybody, lay before them good, godly, wise advice, or come alongside them and counsel them, point something out that is for their good that needs to be pointed out, right? Because remember what we just came from. Right? Take the plank out from your eye, and then you will be able to remove the speck. Right? So this is still within the context of learning how to help people and to come alongside people, right? To point things out, good godly reproofs that are like gold apples in a silver setting, or that gold earring and that ornament, right? Or the silver and the gold of God's word. To be desired more than silver and gold, his wisdom, right? And so we do know that true wisdom, where does true wisdom come from? Come on, we all know it. From God, right? But okay, how is it obtained? How do you go about actually receiving real wisdom? Asking. What does Proverbs tell us about gaining wisdom? The fear of the Lord, right? So instructing people in the fear of the Lord. So we do know that the fear of the Lord leads people unto salvation. We know that there's other passages of Scripture which talks about the Scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation. And so there's various things that we can share that stem from God, that come from Him, that flow from Him, things that all pertain to life and godliness, things that are meant to lead us unto repentance and faith, and good conduct, and walking the narrow path, right? And so these are the things that we share with people. And so I know this morning I heard a lot, which isn't wrong, right? When we're out and we're wanting to share with people the good news of the gospel, that they may repent and believe and come into fellowship with God and with all who believe. But I just want you to know that I don't think that this passage is exclusive to just sharing the gospel. But it's all encompassing of all things pertaining to life and godliness and the wisdom in which God lays out for us as believers. And this isn't just talking about unbelievers. But I think that if we're willing to, and you know, to take some time to examine our lives and to be humble, we have to ask ourselves, how do I potentially act like this? when people come to me to try to lay out wisdom and discernment or point something out in my life and give me some good godly reproof, am I a person who receives, right? Does good godly wisdom come to me like a gold earring and a precious ornament for my ear? Am I receptive? Or even as a believer, am I sometimes tempted to act like a pig and to act like a dog and be unapproachable? Right? We always like to view this passage as the people that we're trying to interact with and the people that we're trying to tell good things to or trying to help or to share the gospel with. But in this is also a warning for us, making sure that we don't act like this. As I was studying this passage, and even as I was teaching this passage in our home group this past Wednesday, I was actually experiencing conviction, knowing that sometimes my wonderful wife who loves me, right, a friend who faithfully wounds instead of someone who just approaches profusely with kisses that are deceitful, right? Sometimes my wife will press in on issues, things that she notices. And when she does, it hurts, right? It's a sore spot, right? And if I'm walking in pride, walking in the flesh, kind of being defensive or whatever the case may be, she may come to me with good godly advice or wisdom or be willing enough to love me and say, hey, I'm noticing this. And what do I do? If I'm unapproachable, right? And we know that in the book of James, he tells us in his word, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. I think that this also pertains to this idea of not acting like a pig or a dog that takes the pearls, slams them on the ground, steps on them, and then turn around and attack the person who is trying to help you. Now, we know this to be true, right? Whether you talking to someone or someone approaching you, I'm sure we all have this experience. We try to point something out, right? We try to help someone, and they say, how dare you? Who do you think you are? You remember when you did this and this and this and this, right? They attack us. But what about the times that we've done that to our wives or our husbands or our kids or our friends or our coworkers? Right? And so, of course, this passage is reminding us that when we try to help people, when we try to give them good, godly, sound advice and be, you know, the hands and feet of God and to relay good, godly reproofs from His Word, we can expect that some people are just going to be unwilling to receive what we have to say, and that's okay. That's not on us. We don't have to feel guilty for the way in which people respond to us. Right? Given our hearts in the right place, that we're not being hypocritical, that we're not being overbearing and over, you know, being judgmental and just, you know, trying to get our way, right? If our heart's in the right place and we try to help people, whether it's someone who doesn't know Christ and you're wanting to share the gospel with them and they're just, you know, rejecting you and rejecting everything you have to say, or even as you approach a close family member or even a brother or sister in the faith and they reject you. Sometimes these things happen, but we also have to take the warning that if we're not careful and we think that it's only the people we interact with, we may be blind to the fact that sometimes we act this way. And I pray for all of us that none of us would act like the dog or the pig, but that we would be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger, that we would be approachable. So one of my questions is, are you approachable? This is a question that most people don't really consider. Are you approachable? Are you the type of person, whether right or wrong, is able to listen to what someone has to say without getting upset and trampling underfoot what they say and attacking them? Because in any case, if they're saying something that isn't true, we as believers should know that God knows the truth, and we shouldn't feel the need to have to be defensive and attacking. But if it is true, are we humble enough to admit it and come to the light and allow those pearls and those fine things being laid before us to become treasures to us and be receptive and receive the things in which people are communicating to us? right? And this is extremely important, because what did we talk about last week? We talked about that aspect of being in genuine fellowship, right? We have no business in trying to meddle in people's lives that we don't really know and don't really know, right? Don't be trying to pull the speck out of someone's eye when you don't even know what the speck is or how it got there, right? Because maybe some specks need different type of treatment. You know, different things can get brought out in different ways. Some things need a tweezer. Some things just need a little water in the eye, right? And I'm not trying to backtrack and re-preach that sermon, but when we're helping people, we should be genuinely involved, genuine fellowship, genuinely loving and caring and come alongside people, and so that you have the type of wisdom and discernment that you need in order to really help people. So this carries over even to today's passage. You should be invested and involved in people's lives and be paying attention and listening and being mindful and trying to discern, is this person that I'm trying to help, are they even willing to hear what I have to say? Or is it going to cause a lot of unnecessary conflict between us as friends or family or spouses? Knowing when someone is ready, right? I had an example like this, a brother in Christ who I, to this day, I just marvel at the work that God has done in his life. This is a guy who grew up, his family was a part of the mafia. He was really involved with drugs. He was in prison, all these various things around really, really hard people in life, and had to do a lot of really hard things and just experience a lot of trauma. And God has totally just literally flipped his life completely upside down. And his love for the Lord is admirable. And I rejoice every time I speak with him, right? But one thing that I've had to learn with this particular brother is that if something comes up that grieves my heart that I want to be able to talk to him about, there's a way in which I have to speak with him. I can't send him a text. I have to talk with him. And I also can't address things that maybe happened an hour or two ago. I need to let a day or two go by before I'm able to talk with him about these things, right? Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to gain wisdom and insight and discernment on, I love this brother and I want to come alongside him. But as I've gotten to know him, I know that there's a time and a place and a way in which I'm supposed to address certain issues with him. There's a way in which I can't talk to him. There's a way in which I should not address situations with him, because what happens is that he's not ready to hear it. And then there's damage control. And then there's hearing each other out again and understanding one another's hearts towards one another and what's true and what isn't. This isn't judgment. This is me coming alongside you as a brother who loves you. Okay, now I understand. Hey, I'm sorry. I just was really upset and I just wasn't ready to hear what you had to say. Right? So that's one way it plays out in my life. But I also have people in my life that it doesn't matter what I say to them. They just always get upset and angry, and they say, you know, okay, I'm done. I don't even want to talk to you no more, and they hang up. And what I've learned is, you know what? I'm not going to go there anymore with this person. As much as I want them to see the truth, as much as I want to see their hearts softened and them come to a greater knowledge of the truth and how it's supposed to impact their life, every time I try to even deal with them gently, it only causes them to rage and become upset and angry, and then they end up hanging up, and then there's conflict in the relationship, right? And so I've really been trying to ponder this, and I really do think that if we are not taking the time to genuinely know the people we're coming alongside of, we will not learn from this, and we'll keep, as was mentioned by various people, but specifically to the point that Dennis made, right? When you're laying your heart out there time and time again, you're just getting it trampled time and time again. And we have permission from God to exercise wisdom and discernment of who we lay our hearts out to. Right? And so getting back to why this is so important for us, especially as the body of Christ, I want you to notice The whole context that is mentioned by this, when he's talking, what Jesus is using the language of pulling the speck out of your eye, he's not talking to a bunch of people who see one another as strangers. He says, right? He goes, first take the beam out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And then he goes down and he talks about casting your pearls and, you know, that which is holy before the dogs and the swine. We as brothers and sisters in the faith, we have camaraderie, we have fellowship, we have relational tie through Christ. And as brothers and sisters in the faith, we have a responsibility to stir one another up unto love and good works. At times come alongside each other and point things out. At times call one another unto repentance. Encourage one another. Challenge one another. Right? And so we as brothers and sisters in the faith, if we are unapproachable, then we're going to miss out on all that we could experience as brothers and sisters in the faith. Right? This isn't just to the outside world. That's not just what this text is about. Interacting with those outside of us who are not united with us in Christ. This is also a passage for us as brothers and sisters in the faith. And my hope and my prayer is that we are approachable. I mean, how crazy would it be if me standing up here, being put in this position by God to care and to shepherd, if you felt like I was unapproachable, if there was something in my life that you felt as though was maybe out of step, or something that you felt as though is something that you think is an issue, and you want to come alongside me and love me and care for me and say, hey, pastor, you know, I've kind of noticed this or that. And I just said, who do you think you are coming in? Well, I would have no business being where I'm at today. Right? But likewise, imagine if a shepherd, every time he goes to care for his sheep, right? Let's say a sheep is stuck in the briar. And I don't know if sheep bite. I don't know if they, I know they kick, right? But like, let's say me as a shepherd, every time I go to help this sheep, that every time I go get near it, he just starts kicking like crazy and I can't even get close to it. Because if I do, you know, could break my shin or whatever, you know? That shepherd's not able to do his job to care for the sheep if the sheep doesn't let the shepherd get anywhere near them, right? And so it's twofold. I have to be approachable, but also we all have to be approachable. And so that's really just my biggest challenge for us, is that we would examine our hearts and make sure that we don't act like pigs and dogs, but that we would be like Proverbs chapter 25 tells us, the eater that is receptive to the gold ring and the ornament, but that we're not rejecting those things. So real quick in closing, I just want to give us a couple verses that y'all can write down and you can study and look at. And I may say a couple things as we look at these, but mainly I just want to bring these to our attention and let them speak to us and, you know, hear what the Word of God has to say. So one of the passages that I would like for us to write down and for us to consider is Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 to 12. And it reads like this. Whoever corrects a scoffer is asking for insult, right? So there you go. There's that getting turned on when you're trying to help someone and love them, right? They just trample and attack you. Whoever corrects a scoffer is asking for insult. Whoever reproves a wicked man gets abuse. Do not correct a scoffer or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. See that contrast, right? Certainly, I hope none of us would be so hard-hearted that we would become spiteful towards one another when we may try to have genuine fellowship and care for one another, right? When you love someone and you approach them, and now you have conflict in the body of Christ and division, and it's not because the person who was coming alongside someone was doing something wrong, but because the person who was, you know, needing the counsel, needing the advice, became so offended, right? I don't want any of us to act like that. So anyways, it says, "Do not correct a scoffer, he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be the wiser still." I pray and hope that we're all approachable and that we grow wiser when people come alongside us and point things out and try to give us godly reproof, right? "And he will increase in learning. For the fear of Adonai," the fear of the Lord, "is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. And if you are wise, you are wise to your own advantage. But if you scoff, you bear it alone." So just keep that in mind. In other words, if you're a pig or a dog, well, you'll have to enjoy the things of pigs and dogs all by yourself, because people aren't going to want to be around you, right? Proverbs 23, verse 9. Proverbs 23, verse 9. "Do not speak in the ears of a fool, for he will disdain the wisdom of your words." So more or less, God is saying, hey, don't waste your breath on those who could care less to what you have to say. Be patient. Wait. Pay attention. There may come a time when they're ready to hear what you have to say, but if you have a perceiving eye and you can tell that they're in no place whatsoever to hear what you're about to say, don't waste your words. Right? And hopefully we never feel that way towards one another. Well, we don't stop working hard in prayer to what you said, right? All right. That was Proverbs 23:9. And then one more, Proverbs 29, verse 9. And right, this is twofold. This is as we interact with others, but hopefully this is not true of us. Proverbs 29, 9. "If a wise man argues with a foolish man, he rants or laughs with no resolution." So, when you enter into an argument, which you kind of fail if you get to an argument with a foolish person, right? You're kind of already knee-deep in the mud at that point. And here's the result. He just rants and he laughs, and you don't come to any resolution anyways. So going back to even the last proverb, don't waste your breath on a person who's not willing to listen. Right, so I'm sure maybe you've experienced this. I know I have. People say things that are kind of out of pocket, things that are really uncalled for, and you try to gently correct them, come alongside them. Hey, I don't really think you should say that. Or hey, I don't think that's how the Lord wants you to view this. And then they laugh at you. I had that happen to me recently, and I was just like, wow. Like once again, like God's word knows what it's talking about. God pins all the time throughout the scriptures the heart of man, and he puts it on full display, right? These things are true of a foolish person, but I hope that these things won't be true of us. And sadly, if I'm honest, I know that I've done this. I know I've acted that way. Someone tried to say something to me, and I laugh about it. Okay. Whatever. That's not right. That's not good. So, my closing challenge is this, right? Seek wisdom and discernment as you interact with those that you love and you care about, that you're trying to come alongside of and help. Pray for wisdom. Pray for discernment. Pray for ears to hear and eyes to see. to be able to tell whether someone's really even ready for you to say what you so desperately want to say to them, right? But also, may we examine our hearts and make sure that we're not acting like this, because this isn't the way that Christ would want us to act. He would want us to be approachable. And not only on like a horizontal level, like approachable to one another, but you know, I kind of think of even what the Lord says about how he draws near to the humble and yet opposes the proud, or he views them from far off, right? Or does God perceive you as a person who's approachable by him, right? I mean, Pharaoh hardened his heart to the point where God just let him go. Said, fine, here you go. Have what you want. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 1. My bad. Not 12. Romans chapter 1. Even though they knew God, they desired to worship other things and to be given over to other things. And so God got to the point where, more or less, he says, fine, I'm not going to waste my breath on you anymore. Have what you want. And so even on a vertical level and a horizontal level, we should be approachable, right? Do you receive God's correction? Do you allow his spirit to convict you? Or do you quench the spirit? Do you take the things in which God reveals to you and throw it on the ground and trample it? I hope not, right? Hopefully we're all approachable on every level, right? And so that's really what was on my heart today. And so I pray that it was encouraging and edifying and something that will all the more refine us on multiple fronts, right? Refine us in our relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and also refine us on the front of our interactions with those around us, because we want to be winsome. We want to be wise. We want to be discerning. What does the scripture say? Be as gentle as doves and wise as serpents, right? Know when it is time to say what you need to say. Because it goes a long way when you say the right thing at the right time to the right person for the right reasons, right? And that's my heart for all of us. So let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful just for the truth of your word. And we're thankful for just the insight and the wisdom that you give us, because it's easy, Father God, to feel guilty or to question ourselves and to think to ourselves, man, did I say something wrong? Or like, Lord, should I not have said anything at all? And sometimes we feel guilty when we truly try to love people and come alongside them and share with them the truth of your word, and they turn and attack us. We're thankful for your word that helps us know that it's not so much on us as it is on them. And we shouldn't be surprised when we are persecuted and spoken of evil for pursuing righteousness. But Father God, it's twofold. We also pray that as we learn this lesson, that we also would be reflective and make sure that we don't act these ways, as those who love us and care about us want what's best for us and come alongside us and point things out in due time. And so, Father, we just pray that that we would be the type of people who have the type of ears that receive gold earrings and fine ornaments, which ultimately is your wisdom and just the things that you've revealed to us that pertain to life and godliness. So help us love you and honor you and be lights to this world and be stirred up unto love and good works. And we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless y'all and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And in light of today's passage, may he give you wisdom and discernment in all things and in all circumstances, that we all can continue to be a light to those around us. And we pray these things, Father, I do pray these things in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father. Amen.